There's a mic. Yeah. Now it's on. Everybody have a good Christmas? Spent with family or friends, or maybe you spent by yourself and you enjoyed that. I'm not sure, but we had a good day. Most of our kids were there yesterday. So we played some games and we talked and we ate food and opened presents and all those things that were fun. Wishing for a white Christmas, but that didn't happen. But happened some places, but not here. But it could have been worse. You know, we could have had sleet and snow and everything else and couldn't have got through. But it was a good day for us. We really enjoyed having our family together. Anybody have anything they'd like to share this morning about what God has been doing or done for you? Everybody's worn out.
I just think we're all here in church and above the
door. Thanks, Jeff. Do we have people in the parking lot this morning, Al? Nobody's out there? Oh, there's one person out there? Okay. So Jeff says he's glad to be here. Russ is giving me the peace sign. Okay, there's two out there in the parking lot. Anything else? Any prayer requests we have? Got Mary Woodyard. Pray for her and Mary Knopp and Ernie and Mary Knopp, yep. Spoken or unspoken?
Kind of unspoken.
Okay. Okay, so pray for Daniel. Daniel and the family with carbon monoxide poisoning. I think hopefully the issue is fixed. We don't know yet, right? Do we? They fix it?
No, but they got money for Christmas that my brother will help them out.
Okay, good. So they need their furnace fixed because they got some kind of carbon monoxide issue in their house. So, any others you can think of? Dee and Donna and Teresa and just look at your prayer list. Dan's at home on oxygen, so I think he's getting better slowly. I had a picture of him on Facebook with his opening his Christmas presents with his oxygen thing on, but his oxygen was low, so as long as he's on that, he's doing okay. So I guess his recovery is really slow. And he said it was like a bad head cold. His head was stuffed up. He had a headache. I'm not sure what other symptoms he had, but I texted Heather the other day, so yesterday I think it was. Okay, so Peggy Curry's family that lost their son, an only child, yesterday, so that's going to be a rough Christmases from now on for them, and this Christmas as well, so.
My sister-in-law, who we've been praying for, was able to get up yesterday out of her bed and go to the dining room table in her wheelchair for the first time in 2 months.
So Holly's sister-in-law was able to get up out of bed and get into the wheelchair, the table. Anyone else?
I asked him to pray for the son of a pastor friend of ours. His name is Logan Lyonsa. And Logan is 18 years old, and he's the one who had cancer on the Oculus chest, and they were able to shrink the tumor a little bit. He went from Children's to the James, and at the James, they decided that they would go in and try to operate and remove the rest of the tumor. And they got in there and closed him back up and told the family that the tumor was wrapped around his heart. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to try to do some new treatments for him. But just pray for this family. He's a wonderful young man. So also lost a son that weekend as well. But they're undergoing some difficult times in their family. Like I said, my mind, I can't remember the name right now, but just people that are just walking through some real deep valleys right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the Simons family, Amy and her husband, Clint, Clint is his name. Clint is now in a long-term care home, and they're trying to decide whether they can bring him out of the home safely and what's going to happen with his life.
Okay. Pray for Logan and Clint, and Teresa has some family members that have COVID, so that is not looking good. She was telling me this morning, so pray for that. My mom's... Okay, so Steve has hives. Pray he gets some release from that. And I'm sure there's a lot more out there we could mention. So let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Thanks for helping us to celebrate the birth of your son. For that glorious time, that glorious day. And Father, be with us and bring us joy this season, even though things are happening. We have all these prayer requests for people, Lord, for healing that have cancer and brain bleeds and sickness and hives and all these different things, Lord, that are happening to our physical bodies. Lord, we just pray you just touch each one of these with your spirit, that they can feel your peace and your joy and know that things are going to be okay regardless of what happens. Whether you choose to heal us here or heal us in heaven, that you're going to do that for us. And we just ask for that this morning. Be with those, Lord, who have maybe had sad memories during this time, that they can focus on you and not on what's happened in the past. Just give them relief. That pain or discouragement, whatever it may be. Help us to have joy this morning, Lord, knowing that you're with us, that you died for us. You came as a baby to live like we did, like we do, and help us to get through our life, having you to be able to trust and follow and lean on and be with us as our light. So, Father, we thank you for this Christmas season, that it may not just be one day a year, but we can think about you all the days of the year. We can live our lives for you, and you can live through us. Lord, to be representatives of you, proclaim your joy and salvation through you to others. I pray you be with these people that we've mentioned and the ones we didn't even think to mention, but we're still thinking of, that you'd be with them as well. Help us to worship you this morning as we're here in your name. Amen.
Is it on? Yay! We got sound.
Sing with us. Thank you.
little rockin' Christmas song there, huh? Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. We can still say it today, can't we? We can still say Merry Christmas today. I want to share a little funny story to begin with. As Grandma was getting ready to leave the house on Christmas Eve, Oliver looked at her with concern. Make sure you're really careful out there on your way home, Grandma, because Santa's delivering presents. His grandma smiled at him. I don't think you have to worry about Santa. Oliver looked at her incredulously. Haven't you heard? He's already run over one grandma with his reindeer. Some of you don't know what that is, but that's that song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, but some of the younger ones might not have ever heard that one. Well, Christmas could be past, but we know that the message lives on, don't we? That a child was born in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. We still know that message, that story, no matter how far it is away from that time. But as I reflect on the birth of Jesus, I think of Mary and Joseph. It takes me back about 33 years, almost 34 years, when our first child was born. And I remember going to Lamaze classes. Any of you guys go to Lamaze classes, you know? This is what you do, and this is what's going to happen, this is what you say, and everything else, and all that stuff. And, you know, they tell you what to say, what not to say, like, are you happy now, and this is what you wanted, and, you know, do you want another one now? And, you know, you don't say any kind of stuff. You just say, you're doing well, dear, you're doing good, you know, and all those things. And, I hate you. No, that never happened for us, but this is your fault, you know, those things. They tell you all that stuff. It could happen, but anyway, before Sarah was born, I remember we had to wear this little thing called a pager. The kids probably have no idea what that is. It's not a cell phone. You can't talk on it. It just beeps and gives you a number. So I wore this little blue pager around at school because I was teaching school at that time. And then you'd get a little beep and the number would come across. And if I knew the number came across, run home because she's ready to have the baby. But I think I was home when we went to the hospital. But, you know, the time comes, you're nervous. You know, you get all your stuff ready and thinking, did I do the right thing? Is everything here? And all that. And made it to the hospital, rushed over there, and then waited 20-some hours in labor. So, I mean, that really wore me out. So I don't know about her, but I was really tired. And then we had some complications. Sarah was kind of stuck, so they were doing all this stuff in there and putting a little thing in her head to tell her vitals and whatever and pushing on the stomach and everything. And then all these hope-to-be doctors came in and stood around the room, and I'm like, what in the world is... But I was too concerned about what was happening, or I would have said, get out of here, but... They were all standing around learning what's happening. They're pushing on her stomach and everything. And then Sarah was born and everything turned out fine. But at the end of that, you know, we had a precious little baby girl. And to me, it was all worth it. I mean, I'm sure it was to my wife, too. But, you know, we talked about the joy that's set before you. You go through the pain and the suffering and all those things that happen for the joy set before you. And the joy was a little child, you know, that we had. And this isn't really a picture of her. I couldn't find one. My wife's got all those, but it's close. But Sarah's hair was sticking up like a little mohawk on hers, and it was dark hair. And every child, you know, is a precious gift. Every little baby's precious, and it. The Bible doesn't tell us about Mary's labor, but I always wonder, you know, what was it like for her? And she didn't have hospitals and doctors and all the medication and stuff we have. And was it a long labor? Was it short? Was it easy? Was it hard? And I don't think any labor is easy, but were there any complications? You know, we don't know those things. And I'm sure they were excited about it. I'm sure they were glad. But whether it's child one or child seven or child 25, whatever it is, they're all special, aren't they? They're all part of God's creation, whether it's by natural birth or adoption. When you add a child to your family, it's a spectacular experience, isn't it? You're adding a new life, somebody that comes into your family. And I'm sure with Jesus, it was no different. But I never get tired of the Christmas story, reading it over and over again, and then just thinking about different aspects and what might have happened, and you know who could have been around, and what people might have saw them going to the stable, and all those things that you just try to think of that we don't always get to hear. But as we're looking at this, Christmas Eve, you read the story and sang a few songs, but we're going to look at it a little more closely this morning. Luke chapter 2, if you want to go there, that's where we're going to be. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census, or some say a tax, should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everybody went to their own town to register. So unlike the census that the government sends out today, you get in the mail, right? You fill it out and send it back in. They had to go to the place where they were born, specifically Josephstown, right? So I was thinking about that. You know, I'd have to go back to Sylvania, Ohio, where I was born. And if it was my wife, she'd have to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. So think about where you're born and where you are now. You'd have to go back there to register. And so for them, it was a big deal. It says, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. So just think of that journey that they had to take. You know, they couldn't just get in their car and drive there. They couldn't fly in a plane or anything. They had to take a journey. Think about Mary being pregnant, and you women that have been pregnant, and you're almost at the end of your time to deliver. How comfortable is that going to be riding on a donkey to your delivery place? I mean, I remember my wife, like, you know, walk around like that. And so I can imagine Mary being on that donkey trying to, you know, stay there and not be uncomfortable, but she's probably nervous. You know, and they got to the inn, and you know, they're saying, well, is it going to be clean? Is there any place for me to stay there? But we don't hear about Mary complaining about the pain at all, do we? Never says Mary complained, Mary grumbled, or anything like that. But she was looking forward to this new birth coming in, probably nervous and scared. You know, it was her first child, like, oh, what's this going to be like? But I know it's going to be okay. Then it says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them in the inn. So Joseph didn't have a pager to say, hey, it's time. He just had Mary, right? Saying it's time. The baby's coming. I'm sure they were nervous, probably excited about it, probably frightened a little bit, even though she knew she was going to have this child that was from God. But Joseph was there to comfort her. He probably had the whatever Lamaze classes they offered at that time. It's probably his dad or mom saying, son, do this or don't do this. And then you wonder, you know, who was there? Was anybody there to help her? Did Joseph deliver the baby? We don't know those fine details, do we? We just know that she had the baby. But after the birth, we know that they finally had their son. They probably said, oh, this is the cutest baby I've ever seen, right? How many parents do that? This is the cutest baby I've ever seen. Let me just show you a picture of my son or my grandson or whatever. The cutest baby you've ever seen. In most cases, that's true. All babies are not cute when they're born, I'm telling you. When they're purple and their head's pointed like that, you know, and stuff, they're not always the best, cutest looking babies you've seen. That's just from a man's perspective. From the women's perspective, this is the best, most cute thing I've ever seen. And they are cute. And we all want to show off our babies, don't we? Well, a parent doesn't want people to see and visit. But what's interesting is the Bible never describes what Jesus looked like. Right? Never says, you know, he had chubby cheeks, he had whatever color hair, he had this skin, it doesn't tell us. I think that's good because it doesn't let us try to compare ourselves. Oh, well, you look like Jesus. Oh, well, you didn't. You know? He was just a baby that was born, and every baby is amazing, but he finally arrived in the flesh. The other interesting thing is it doesn't say he was wrapped in a royal robe. The Son of God comes to earth, and he's wrapped in cloths. You're thinking, couldn't you do any better than that? Right? But it was supposed to be it's a simple birth. He's coming like we are. He's coming as a man, not coming as God to earth, but he's coming as God, as a human to earth. Then you have the proud parents of Mary and Joseph sitting there with their newborn son. And God wanted people to see his son, the Savior, so he sent for guests and witnesses and worshipers to come, didn't he? Because it says in starting verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. So probably that wasn't a common scene, was it? There weren't a lot of babies being born in mangers. But you're going to find this one there. So think about that. You're in the field doing your shepherding things, whatever shepherds do when you're shepherding. The sheep are making their sheep noises, which are probably baa and I don't know, whatever. If you're a sheep person, you'll know all those noises they make. And all of a sudden, everything's lit up. And then you see this glowing person standing there talking to you. And he speaks and tells you where you're going to find the Messiah. Were they scared? Yeah, it says they were terrified. You heard that thing about scared stiff. They probably couldn't even move at that point because they were so scared what was happening. But they got directions for them to go see this baby. And then all of a sudden, more people show up. More angels show up. It says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So if they thought one shining person was scary, think about a whole group of them showing up. Maybe it was just to kind of reinforce the message, right? I mean, they didn't have pagers, they didn't have Facebook or anything like that to announce this. They were personally told this by an angel and a heavenly host. It says, when the angels left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord told us about. Which that's another kind of amazing thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you think they just like, let's get out of here before these guys show up again? But they're like, no, let's go to Bethlehem and see what's happening. This is the coming Messiah. We've been thinking about this and hearing about this for a long time. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So after this miraculous event, they went to see the Messiah. When you read later on, you know the others came, the wise men, and brought gifts. But there was no newspaper, no pictures for them to be able to recognize him. But they knew from Scripture this was going to be the child, right? The babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, follow the star. All the signs they had to get there, they found. And that's how they knew it was him, the one that God had promised to send. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So think about this. These are shepherds that are out with their sheep, and they come to you and say, I've seen the Messiah. And you're like, what? But they were so excited about it, they were telling everybody they could find, which is what people do when they're excited about things, don't they? They tell them what's happened, what they found, what's new, if it's a good deal, if it's whatever it is, you tell everybody because you want people to know. They'd seen the fulfillment of the Scripture. Remember back when your kids were born, how excited you were? If you have kids or brothers or sisters, maybe if it's a brother or sister, you weren't that excited because you're like, oh, there's another one, competition. But in most cases, you're excited. You know, you text people. Now we text people. We Facebook, we Twitter, and whatever else we do, whatever those new things are out there. I don't know all of them, but different things out there. The shepherds kind of did the same thing, but they did it in person. They actually went to people. You know, they couldn't send a text to everybody, hey, this Messiah's been born. They actually go in person, which a lot of ways is better than texting, isn't it? Because texting now is so impersonal. You can say whatever you want on a text, but would you say it in person to somebody? Especially something that's not good? But to spread joy, you can see the people's face, you can see their expression, you can see how excited they are, and you can find out what happened because they're going to tell you. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph were amazed as well when these people came to visit and came to see the Messiah. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I really like the part where it says, Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. What does that mean? She thought about them. She's going to remember. This is what I want to remember. This day, what they said about my child. I'm sure she remembered every word that was spoken, every gift that was given, every comment, every look. It was something she wasn't going to forget. How many of you guys remember, those that have kids, when they were born? You know, the first word, the first steps, the first boo-boo they had or whatever it was. You remember all those little things. And I bet every father doesn't remember them totally because she'll like, do you remember this? I'm like, no. Remember that? No. Certain events I remember, but she remembers everything. Mothers cherish those things in her heart. They have all those things in her mind, and they know all these different things. All I'm asking is which one bit me on the shoulder. That's the things I ask, you know, because that's what I remember. But mothers remember all the gifts and the cards and the comments and the faces and the things that happen. Because those things don't last forever, do those childhood stages don't last. But different stages, as you go through different events, you have those certain things you remember. And when they're born, you wonder, you know, When they grow up, what are they going to be someday? You know, what are they going to turn out to be? And even when they're growing up, it never changes the fact that they're still your kids. Doesn't matter how old they are, how old you are, they're still your kids. The relationship changes a little bit, right? You change their diapers, they change yours. You know, so it's sometimes that happens, doesn't it? But they're still your kids. And that love stays there, and you're still proud of them. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph wondered how this baby would save the people. She didn't really know the whole story, but she knew something was going to happen that was amazing. They didn't have a local paper to announce the birth, but they actually had an angel telling people, didn't they? And they had the scripture. It says, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So there's no doubt that this was going to be the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. Shouldn't that make us excited that our Savior and Messiah has been born? There are people out there who don't believe He's come yet. They're still waiting. But we know He's already here, and He's coming back, right? He's not just a story in a book. He's a living being that created us, and that we have joy looking forward to what's going to happen next. God sent His Son Jesus to be born as a man so He could stoop down to where we were in order to raise us up one day to where He is. I don't know where I got that phrase, if I made it up or if I found it somewhere, but I keep reading because I like it. God sent His Son Jesus to be born as a man. He stooped down to where we were in order to one day raise us up to where He is. Think of that when you talk to kids. You don't always talk to kids bending down to them. You get down to their level and talk to them. And Jesus came down to our level to talk to us so we could be raised up to His level someday. It's a gift of love. You've heard the phrase, Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. It's true, because He gives us love, comfort, hope, peace, security, truth, forgiveness, eternal life. And the list goes on. And we're reminded of that during Christmas, aren't we? When you see the trees, read the story about the Christmas tree sometime, about the wreath, about the Advent candles. There's stories behind all those things that remind us of Christ. The ring for the Advent candle of the evergreen shows that it never stops. It never gets bad. It stays there. It's life. So there's a whole bunch of things you can look at for those symbols that we have in Christmas. But I wonder if Mary knew that Jesus would do miracles. Did she know He'd heal the lame and give sight to the blind? Did she know He'd feed the 5,000 or walk on water or stretch out His arms of sacrifice for us all? I asked Sam to sing a song for us this morning. Mary, did you know? So listen to the words. I mean, we've heard it before, but in this context, it makes difference, doesn't it? Because now we're talking about Mary. Mary, what did you know?
Sons and daughters, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with His hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary. Thank you. The sleeping child is the great I am. Oh, Mary, did you
We don't know if Mary knew the answer to these questions, do we? She would have found out some later on. Even though she didn't know all these things that Jesus would do, the Bible tells us there's a few things that she knew. It says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David." She knew that, didn't she? Then in Luke 1:45, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God and Savior. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She knew she was honored to be bearing the Son of God, didn't she? She was going to be the mother of Christ. Being a virgin was a miracle. But today, we know all the things Jesus did today, don't we, here on earth? And we know how it began, and we know how it ends. We know the reason for Christmas. We know he's the greatest gift ever given, and he gives us eternal life. It's going to last forever if we receive him. It's like any other gift. You can take it or you can leave it, right? If you take it, you have it. If you decide not to take it, you don't have it. Eternal life is something that we ask for when we ask Christ to be our Savior. Well, we know the Christmas story about the baby lying in a manger and God coming to earth and the great star marking his birthplace and the shepherds visiting and all the rest. But how many people don't know that story? How many people have never heard that story? They think Christmas is just about going out and shopping and giving gifts and getting gifts. And so many are lost and looking for something. But we need to do whatever we can to help them hear the good news of Christmas, whether it's reading the Christmas story, sending a Christmas card that has a message on it, sending a text, writing a letter, whatever it may be, letting people know that Christmas is more than just about getting presents because we've already got the perfect gift. It's more than just a day off of work. For some people, it's like, oh, I got a long weekend. It's Christmas weekend, or I'm on holiday break. I hate that phrase, holiday break. It's Christmas break, right? Christmas break, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Merry Christmas, those kind of things. By the time we can be grateful to God for sending Christ and enjoying and appreciating the things that we have with family and friends. And we can still do that today, can't we? Maybe you missed it yesterday. Well, you can go home today and call somebody or text them or write them a letter or go on Facebook or Twitter or whatever the next, I'm probably missing something. There's other things you can use now, whatever, Snapchat, I think, is the other one you use and all those kinds of things. You can still do that to people you haven't contacted yet. Oh, I forgot to send a card to Grandma Gretel. Well, I'm going to call her today then. So we can still do that, spread that Christmas joy today to help those in need. Maybe somebody's sitting home depressed because they don't have family or friends. Maybe God's prompting you to call them today and say, Merry Christmas, how are you doing today? Everybody needs a Savior, somebody to rescue them from their troubles, somebody to comfort them and show them that there's more to life than what we have today. So let people know there's something to look forward to, something to believe in. And never forget that on Christmas Day in the town of David, a Savior was born to us, and he's Christ. I'm going to close with this poem by Tom Krause. It's called Once in a Manger. Once in a manger a long time ago, before there was Santa and reindeer and snow, a star shone down on humble beginnings below of a baby just born who the world would soon know. Never before had there been such a sight. Would the son of a king have to suffer this plight? And there are there no armies to lead? Are there no battles to fight? Shouldn't he conquer the world and demand his birthright? No, this frail little infant asleep in the hay would change the whole world with the words he would say, not about power or demanding his way, but mercy and loving and forgiving God's way. For only through humbleness would the battle be won, as shown by the actions of God's only true Son, who gave up his life for the sins of everyone, who saved the world when his journey was done. Many years have now passed since that night long ago, and now we have Santa and reindeer and snow. But in our hearts, the true meaning we know, it's the birth of that child that makes Christmas so. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you.